Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, 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 it's Monty, and you are listening to The Rockcast.
We don't want it, we don't like it.
So glad you could join me, and today I thought instead of doing the same thing I always do, like reading your emails and top tens, reviewing new CDs and telling you what's on TV, I thought I'd do something completely different and bring back the Wheel of Segments.
Oh, goody!
For those of you who don't know what the Wheel of Segments is, well, I happen to have a giant wheel in my house, kind of like the one on the Wheel of Fortune.
No, you don't.
Now, the wheel has all the segments on it, and I'm going to spin the wheel, and whatever it lands on, that's the one I'm going to do. And I think, as you'll see, it adds a whole new excitement and unpredictability to this show.
Yeah, I cannot wait.
So here we go with the first spin, and let's see what happens. Oh yes, where it lands, nobody knows. And it's coming to a stop, and the first segment I'm going to do is... Listener emails and comments.
Yay!
Well, all right. And fortunately, I do have some emails and comments.
Extremely exciting.
And the first one is a comment from my buddy Stu Sturgis in Missouri. And Stu said that episode 161 was good, except for the political BS. He said, please, more goofing on celebrities and kids that suck. And less politics.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, first of all, Stu, I understand that as a conservative, I'm supposed to keep my political views to myself and keep my big mouth shut. And believe me, I've tried. But when I see the garbage that the media throws at us every single day, I cannot help but make fun of it. And I don't expect everybody to agree with me or accept what I'm saying. But this podcast, for me, is more than a podcast. It's become kind of my art form. And just like with my painting or music, I've got to express myself. And when things piss me off or amuse me, I usually have to say something. However, in fairness, I listen to podcasts that aren't conservative, and I watch TV shows that aren't. For instance, I've been a fan of Saturday Night Live for years, and they're totally on the left. And they just made fun and were just brutal on George Bush all those years. But it was Will Ferrell impersonating him, and it was hilarious.
I could not have said it better myself.
And of course, I listen to all kinds of podcasts. And the other day, I was listening to one by Dee Snider from Twisted Sister. And he talked for about a half hour about his political views, and I disagreed with about 90% of it. But at the end of it, I went, you know, I may not agree with him, but he's really entertaining and I like his show.
I call that stupid.
Another podcast I love that I wouldn't consider conservative is Jamie Josta. He's the singer for Hatebreed and he interviews all these rock musicians. And he recently had this guy from this Christian band called For Today. And they sat there for almost an hour and talked about nothing but religion. And once again, I didn't agree with everything that I heard, but it was really interesting. And so to all my liberal friends out there, you know, I love you. And we may not agree on everything, but I hope you keep listening. Because at the end of the day, you know, I'm just giving my opinion. And you know what that's like.
Everybody got one and they all stink.
In other emails, Phil Robinson said that he liked my top 10 list about getting old. And apparently he could relate because he came up with a few himself. For instance, he said, you know you're getting old when you go to the fridge and forget why you went there.
A pitiful thing indeed.
He says you also say things like, back when I was a kid, or I remember when. And yeah, sadly I say stuff like that every day. But Phil says you also know you're getting old when some part of your body hurts every time you get out of bed.
I understand how you feel.
Yeah, isn't that weird? All you're doing is sleeping, but somehow you wake up more tired and sore than you were when you went to bed.
How true it is.
But I can relate to this one. Phil says, the foods you used to love to eat stop loving you, but you eat them anyway. Yeah, I've always eaten a lot of food that I shouldn't, but the problem is that I used to be able to eat it and not gain any weight. But these days, if I eat a bag of licorice, it's gonna hang around and stay on my gut.
I'm turned on.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that visual. I know it's not pretty, but at least my wife still finds me sexy.
You know it's not gonna last. You know that somehow she's just gonna wise up and realize she's with a dork and it ends. Yeah.
Another email I got was from Dane Sonier's brother, Lynn. And I've known Lynn for years, and of course he was in Atomic Opera and the Sonier Brothers. And now he's in a new band called Peace and Chaos, and they opened for Galactic Cowboys on our last show down in Houston. And Lynn asked me if I wanted to check out their new album, and I said, heck yeah. And he sent me a copy, and so here now is a little snippet for you. That's a really good song called Roses. There's some obvious similarities to King's X and maybe Soundgarden, but the whole album is very bluesy, and I think a lot of you guys will like it a lot. Once again, the name of the band is Peace and Chaos, and Len tells me that the album should be available in October on Rock Army Records. So thanks to Len for sending that to me and letting me share it with you guys here on the Rockcast. Yeah, yeah. My wife often says to me, you know, Monty, if you're going to keep a giant spinning wheel in our house, much like the kind they have on the Wheel of Fortune, you might as well use it. And so that's what I'm doing right now. And the next segment I'm going to do is your top tens.
Wow.
Well, all right. This is a segment that would not exist without you, the listeners. And you know, about 7 years ago when I started doing this podcast, I was giving you my top tens of my favorite concerts or, you know, whatever. And one day I just went, hey, you know, if you want to send me your top tens, go ahead. I'll read them. Well, little did I know I would get so many that it would develop into this thing where I would end up having the top 10 playoffs and crowning champions. And I still love getting your lists. It's one of my favorite things to do on this show, and you guys seem to like it too. And so let's go ahead and do a couple, starting with one from my buddy Emmett Hall. And Emmett is just a great guy, and he's also a huge Galactic Cowboy fan. And how do I know this? Because he took the Galactic Cowboy logo off our first album and put it on the gas tank of his motorcycle. And he had the whole band sign it, and now he rides around showing his galactic pride.
He's just great.
The other reason I know Emmett as a huge Galactic Cowboy fan is that he sent me his top 10 reasons to love or be a Galactic Cowboy. And it starts out at number 10 with, they go house to house with hammers when they check out. Number 9 is, they put forth much rage and one can feel it. Number 8 is, they don't like stress. Number 7, they remember the date 9th of June.
Huh?
Number 6 is, they may not be killers. Number 5 is, they are not easily amused.
No, they're not.
Number 4 is, they tie ribbons around their hearts. Number 3 is, they go back to their school. Number 2 is, they own property on Mars.
No, they don't.
And the number one reason to love or be a Galactic Cowboy, they never age. Oh, God. Well, I wish that last one were true, Emmett. I wrote that line when I was in my 20s, and I've regretted it ever since.
What were you thinking?
But nevertheless, bro, good job. Great list. Now, the next list is from another good guy, my friend and frequent Rockcast contributor, Paul Morgan. And Paul's list is top 10 songs with long, cool intros. And at number 10, ooh, we got a tie already. It's The Who with Eminence Front and Baba O'Reilly.
Who?
And yeah, both of those are cool songs. But number 9 is Elton John with Funeral for a Friend, leading into Love Lies Bleeding. Number 8 is the long intro on the Dire Straits song Money for Nothing. And number 7 is Boston with Foreplay Long Time. And Paul says, this is one of those albums that I could tell you exactly where I was when I first heard it. You don't forget stuff like that. Yeah, that is so true, Paul, and I can tell you exactly where I was. I was in a high school art class. And that's also the first place where I heard Kansas and Blue Oyster Cult. But I can't say that about a lot of other albums since then. I mean, I remember the first time I ever heard Van Halen, and I was standing in a record store the first time I ever heard Megadeth. And I'm sure you all remember where you were the first time you heard Galactic Cowboys.
I don't remember.
But yeah, when that first Boston album came out, there wasn't anything like it. The guitar had its own unique sound, and the songs were great. And of course, I ran out and bought it on 8-track. And at the end of that song, Long Time, they go into that guitar solo, and all of a sudden it fades out. You get that click, and then it fades back in on the 4th track. Yeah, 8-track tapes. What a great invention that was.
Absolute genius.
Anyway, getting back to Paul's list of songs that have great intros, number 6 is Niles Lofgren. Is it Niles or Nils? Whatever. He plays with Bruce Springsteen now. And the song was Take You to the Movies and Back It Up. Number 5 is Guns N' Roses with Sweet Child of Mine. And Paul says, love it or hate it, it's a classic. Well, that is true, Paul, but I'll tell you what. If I'm ever in a car and that comes on the radio and I hear... I cannot hit that button and change the channel fast enough. I mean, all due respect to Slash for writing a classic riff, but I have heard that enough.
And I'm sick of it!
Anyway, back to the list. At number 4, it's Metallica with Battery. Number 3 is Alan Parsons Project with Sirius, Eye in the Sky.
No duh.
Yeah, and you know, now that you mention it, Paul, you know, Alan Parsons Project had so much great stuff.
No duh.
And I rarely ever think of them at all, but, you know, iRobot was a great album. That one about Edgar Allan Poe, The Raven, was great.
No duh.
So nice choice there, Paul, but that will lead us to number 2, which is one of my favorites. It's Judas Priest with the Hellion Electric Eye. And yeah, that was a great way to open an album, and they also opened a tour with that song. But that would leave us with number 1, which is Rush with 2112 Overture. Oh yeah, ba-bop, ba-ba-bop, ba-bop.
Geddy Lee.
Ba-bop.
Geddy Lee, best bass player ever, come on.
Well, good job on that list, Paul, and as always, man, thanks for being such a good dude. It's always great hearing from you. But that would bring us to our last list of the day. And it would come to us from a Mr. David Whiteman.
The new face of evil.
And David says, here is my top 10 list of rock/pop songs for starting off my morning. Well, isn't that special, David? I know we all can't wait to hear this.
I can't stand this guy.
And it starts out at number 10 with Happy by Pharrell.
What?
David says, annoyingly catchy, but hard to deny the pep it gives. Well, I will agree with you that it's annoying, but let's move on to number 9, which is Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves.
I hate it.
And once again, David says, annoyingly catchy, but hard to deny the pep it gives.
This is obnoxious.
Oh my God, dude, come on. I don't know if I can make it through this whole list. But let's move on to number 8, which is Let's Go by Crunchy. Oh, okay, there you go. I like that. Number 7 is Good Morning, Good Morning by the Beatles. All right, this is getting better. Number 6 is Working Man by Rush.
Geddy Lee.
Down, 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 down. Yeah, number 5 is Day in the Life by the Beatles. Number 4 is Good Day Sunshine by the Beatles. Number 3 is Here Comes the Sun, the Beatles. Number 2 is Mr. Blue Sky, the Beatles. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's ELO.
Whatever, it's the same thing.
And the number 1 annoyingly catchy song on Mr. David Whiteman's list. Another Day by Paul McCartney. All right, once again, Mr. David Whiteman coming into the Rock Cast with a top 10 list and bringing it strong.
Whack job!
However, David, you know, if you'd have just made Mr. Blue Sky number 1, I could have then played the song and ended the segment with it. Because I love Mr. Blue Sky and I love ELO. So, you know, next time you're making out your list, think about those kind of things. Just a suggestion. But regardless, you, Paul, and Emmett Hall are now all eligible for an amazing prize package. Okay, well, how are you liking the Wheel of Segments so far?
This blows!
Well, all right. And the next segment that I am going to do is... What's on TV?
It is a waste of time.
That's right. While most of you are spending time with your families or doing something constructive with your life, I'm watching TV. And recently, there's been just a buttload of stuff on that I am compelled to tell you about. For instance, there's a bunch of competition shows like America's Got Talent and Last Comic Standing. And I like America's Got Talent. There's some amazing acts on there. However, none of them seem to be from America. You got singers from Mexico and dancers from Russia and Japan. And there's even a regurgitator from Scotland. In fact, the least talented people on the show are probably the ones who were actually born here. So perhaps America does not have talent.
Absolutely.
But whatever, it's still better than Last Comic Standing. I only made it through 1.5 episodes of that show because, frankly, I did not find it funny. And my question is, why can I sit there and not laugh once, and yet the judges find every single comedian hilarious?
They're idiots.
Now, music-wise, you're not going to believe this, but I actually saw a couple of rock bands on my television.
Are you freaking kidding me?
I'm serious, and they were both on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
There's no way.
One of them was Faith No More, and they did a couple of songs off their new CD, and they were pretty good, even though I'm not really into them that much anymore. And their bass player was playing a Zahn, which is my brand of choice, and you don't really see a lot of guys playing those, so I found that interesting.
No, it wasn't.
The other band I saw on Jimmy Kimmel was Lamb of God. And I just thought that was flat out crazy because you just rarely see heavy bands on TV, period. But there they were playing a new song off their new album, and I kind of liked it.
Word and you lose your life. A grave new world. A
I've never been a big fan of Lamb of God, but this new album is pretty cool. They've always been amazing musicians, but on this one, their singer Randy Blythe actually came up with some melodies and actually did some singing. So if you like really heavy stuff, you might want to check that out.
Well, no thanks.
Another music-related show that I watched was the Alternative Press Music Awards. It was on the Axis channel of my cable, and it was basically an opportunity to give awards to punk, pop punk, and screamo metal bands. In other words, all that music that is usually snubbed by the Grammys. And so, of course, I'm going to watch something like this because I like a lot of that kind of stuff. I'll admit it. And so I'm sitting there and I'm watching and I start thinking, you know, something's going on here. Because I begin to realize that everybody who gets an award on this show or plays on this show all has something kind of in common. They're all young and good looking.
How dare they?
And it doesn't matter if it's Pierce the Veil, Black Veil Brides, All Time Low, Paramore, Panic at the Disco, on and on. They either have a cute lead singer or the whole band could be hired as male models.
I'm outraged!
And I have no problem with people being attractive, that's fine. And a lot of these bands are great musicians and make great albums. But it just once again reminds me of how contrived the music industry is. It doesn't matter how pure the music starts out, they always jump in and make a product out of it. And the end result is always, how do we package this to sell to 12 to 18-year-old girls? And so the Alternative Press Music Awards ended up being a little hard for me to watch. But oh, that was nothing in comparison to the torture that I went through as I tried to watch the MTV Video Music Awards. Yeah, once again, I watched it so you didn't have to. And believe me, you did not want to watch this. And I knew going in this was going to be terrible. There's not going to be any rock or punk or metal. Because for the most part, this has just been turned into the Rap and Hip Hop Awards.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the whole thing got started with a performance by Taylor Swift and Nicki Minaj. And then Macklemore and Ryan Lewis started rapping about mopeds.
Fabulous.
Yeah, apparently rapping and singing about a motorcycle would just be way too manly for these pussies.
What?
But I pretty much got the idea from watching this show that anything heterosexual is just not cool anymore at all. But I am obviously not the person that MTV is targeting. They have their sights set on our kids, which is probably why they picked former Disney star Miley Cyrus as the host.
Pure evil.
Yeah, when my daughter Zoe was a child, I used to watch Hannah Montana with her. But Miley Cyrus is in full-on slut mode these days. And by the end of her opening monologue, I realized what a completely horrible human being she is. But I'll get to more of that later because, you know, we had some awards to hand out. And who is more deserving than that talented Nicki Minaj and her giant deformed ass? I don't know what she had that thing injected with, but it looks like she's trying to hide a couple of huge watermelons in the back end of her dress. And I'm not really sure what was up her ass, but during her acceptance speech, she actually tried to pick a fight with Miley Cyrus.
Whoa.
What, Justin Bieber wasn't available?
I guess not.
Well, actually he was.
Oh.
And he took time out from his busy schedule of being a little douchebag and performed a song. And I've never been impressed with anything he's ever done. But I gotta say, I'm always amazed to watch people like him and Britney Spears run around and dance on the stage like crazy, and yet never miss a note and never get out of breath. But don't worry, because I don't think anyone who has as much artistic integrity as Justin Bieber would ever resort to lip syncing.
Absolutely not.
No, he's just way too talented to do anything like that.
I assume this is sarcasm.
Anyway, when Justin Bieber was done performing, the crowd went crazy and was applauding him, and he just broke down into tears. And he was apparently just overcome with emotion. And I kind of understand that, because as I was watching him, I had a lot of emotions and feelings myself. At first, it was just kind of nausea, but then it kind of turned into anger, and eventually hateful rage.
Oh, that was very kind of you.
But my mood didn't really improve much, as I had to sit there and watch Taylor Swift win Video of the Year. But that wasn't really a surprise, because it wouldn't be an award show unless she won two or three of those things.
She's a hack and a fool.
She also got to introduce the winner of the Video Vanguard Award, Kanye West.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Mr. Kim Kardashian himself. And he got up there and gave a speech for about 20 minutes where he tried to explain why he had been such an a-hole all these years. And none of it really made sense to me, but in fairness, he did say that he'd smoked a joint before the show.
Alright.
He then ended his speech by announcing that he will run for president in 2020.
Well, why not?
Is that a joke?
I mean, this is some satire here.
However, the big finale of the night was a huge performance by none other than Miley Cyrus. And remember back when we all thought that Madonna was kind of out there? We thought she was kind of edgy, kind of sleazy, and she was probably going to corrupt all the children of the world?
Well, yeah.
Well, that was nothing. Miley walked out onto the stage surrounded by what appeared to be about 200 transvestites and did a song where she proclaimed that she smokes pot and she doesn't care what you think about it.
Right.
Now, I wouldn't consider myself a prude by any means, but when I sat there watching rappers, the Kardashians, and an audience full of retards applauding every form of debauchery, I could only think, wow, this world is really turning into shit. And the MTV Video Music Awards completely threw it in our faces. And after watching it, all I can say is, could we just bring back the good old days? You know, when rock bands just worship Satan in the privacy of their own dressing rooms? I mean, I don't know what they're going to do to top this next year, but for the time being, Miley Cyrus is starting to make Ozzy Osbourne look like a saint.
That's right, she's an idiot too.
Anyway, that is what's on TV.
Sharon!
You know, if you're thinking about getting a giant wheel for your house, I would actually advise against it. Because honestly, they do take up a lot of space, I'm just saying. But since I've got one, there's no reason why I shouldn't use it to find out what the next segment is gonna be. And it is Rapid Fire CD Reviews.
What a great, big, huge, giant letdown.
All right, well, after kind of a drought without a lot of new music, there's a lot of new CDs that have come out recently. And I'm going to play you some clips and give you some of my thoughts. And let's get it started with the new one from Motorhead. It's called Black Magic.
I always run.
You know, Motorhead is kind of like AC/DC in that they kind of put out the same CD over and over, but they're so good at what they do, it's always hard not to like it. And I do like this new one. It's just good, nasty rock and roll, and you gotta love Lemmy. There's not a ton of surprises on here. It's just Motorhead being Motorhead. But I gotta be honest, when I put this album on, I did not expect to hear a ballad. Yeah, Lemmy does a ballad and pulls it off. I love that. But he hasn't been doing real well health-wise. In fact, I even heard they had to cancel a show recently. So I hope he gets to feeling better real soon because we need him around.
Lemmy's old, dude.
The next one is one I know a lot of you have been eagerly looking forward to. It's from the mighty Iron Maiden. It's called The Book of Souls.
I gotta have more cowbell.
You almost always know what you're gonna get with an Iron Maiden album. They don't usually stray too far from the path of what they do, and I would say the Book of Souls holds true to form. You know, Bruce Dickinson is a great singer, and you're always gonna get a lot of great lead playing. You're gonna get some great galloping bass from Steve Harris. And really, the only question is, are the songs gonna be great? And after just a few listens, I would say, yeah, there's some great songs on here, or at least some songs that I really, really like.
Tomorrow comes, tomorrow goes, but the cloud remains the same. Wonder why he's feeling down, tears are the clown. Maybe it's all just for the best, lay his weary head to rest. Why forever feeling drowned, tears are the clown.
Now, most of the songs on this album are really ambitious. In fact, there's a song that's over 10 minutes long, a song that's over 13 minutes long, and the last song is over 18 minutes long. However, I'm not going to criticize them for that, because the one thing that nobody can say is that Iron Maiden sold out on this CD to try and get some radio play. They still deliver the metal, and God bless them for that.
And I trace cycles on the phases of the moon. Is in the document a kingdom they will learn? Celebrating to the gods of nature, and we're living in the cities of stone. Towers reaching up into the heavens, sacred goddess for the world unknown. Mega lands bring a mystery novel, records kept to the passing of love.
Okay, here's another legendary band doing what they do. The name of the CD is Repentless, and it's from Slayer.
They used to be my favorite band.
Tom Araya has a beautiful singing voice, don't you think?
No, I don't.
Oh. Well, I don't really know what to say about this album. I'm not sure if it's good or bad. I just know it all sounds the same. And finally, a new CD by Backyard Babies. It's called 4x4.
Do you remember back in the day? I always had my different way, getting away with everything I say. Oh, I got lucky, you fell down. I guess I could emerge from underground. And I don't think you like.
Backyard Babies is a band from Sweden, and they've always kind of reminded me of the Wild Hearts or Social Distortion. And in fact, I saw them open for Social Distortion years ago. But this CD took me completely off guard because I wasn't expecting it to be this good. And holy crap, I love this album. So there you go, a big thumbs up for the new Backyard Babies. It's just really good melodic rock, for those of you who like really good melodic rock.
Never finish anything, never finish anything. Whenever you're around, there'll be trouble. Never finish anything.
and no problem.
All right, spinning the wheel one last time on this completely unpredictable episode of the Rockcast. And the final episode that I'm going to do is end of show. Oh, well, I really didn't expect that, but what can I do? The giant wheel has spoken. But before I go, I wanted to tell you that if you want to get a hold of me, you can do so on Facebook or on my website, MontyColvin.net, where you can also find my paintings, t-shirts, and CDs. Speaking of which, don't forget to order your Rockcast t-shirt. And a special shout out to a few guys who did just that. Thanks to Jay Turner, Steve Ellison, Paul in Florida, Bruno in the UK, and Fabrice in France. You guys rule, and I really appreciate you showing your support and love for the show.
I don't like it!
I'm going to play you one last song, and this is a tune off the new CD by Fear Factory. They were playing metalcore before metalcore had become metalcore. And if that makes any sense to you whatsoever, you're probably going to like this song.
I'm incapable of understanding.
But that's going to do it for me for now, because I got to get out of here and start recording another episode. So never fear, I will be back soon with more fun and mayhem. But until then, this has been Monty saying take care, don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me. And
rock on.
That was brutal.
The end.